Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Flaw, and here is our producer and our engineer, Mr. Stephen the Man Shaldone.
Good day to you, sir.
How's it going, all right?
It is Lenting.
Yeah, you know, we began Lent. And are you happy about it?
No. Who's happy about it?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I had a big conversation with Cardinal Dolan about this.
Okay.
And he goes, how do you feel about Lent? I said, and he asked me this on the air, of course, right? And we talked about it off the air. But I said, I got to tell you the truth. I don't like Lent at all. I said, you know, I'm not. He goes, well, me neither. He goes, who likes all this sacrifice? I said, I agree. He goes, yet it's really good, right? I said, yeah, we got to do it. And that's right. The good thing.
And it is kind of good.
Do you know, on Ash Wednesday, just take a guess, how many people go through St. Patrick's Cathedral?
Oh, I couldn't.
50,000.
Yeah, I couldn't
50,000 in one day. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, how do you like that? I mean, that must be zoo. He goes, what are you kidding? I love that. He goes, come on down any day, everybody. We'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess it's a fun day for the church in a way, because even though it's solemn, you know, you look out and you say, what a beautiful gift. Like, all
right.
of these people
these
still
people.
See the value, you know, of being marked with these ashes. And you and I were talking about the meaning of ashes before
right.
we started, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea of being marked not as a winner, but as a sinner.
As a sinner, yes.
That's the point. So it's interesting. So like the Lenten journey has begun, and we're looking at commitment, you know, because it's you kind of have to remain steadfast in this whole thing,
you
right?
You do, yes.
You know, the Fridays.
It's hard.
Keeping your Lent commitments, whatever they may be, you know, mm-hmm. privately or publicly, you know, there's something really good about that. So I think we have to kind of recognize the power of commitment, particularly during Lent. But every day of our lives, you know, we commit ourselves to relationships and lots of things. That's what we're looking at, the power of commitment, seeing how that kind of plays itself out in our lives. So to start us off, this is Bob Seger. It's called Like a Rock.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong. Like a rock, I was 18, didn't have a care. Working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere. Like a rock, hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firm to what I felt was right. Like a rock, like a rock, I was strong as I could be. Like a rock, nothing ever got to me. Like a rock, I was something to see. Like a rock, and I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all these hustlers and their schemes. I stood proud, I stood tall, above it all. I still believed in my dream. 20 years now, where'd they go? 20 years, I don't know. I sit and I wonder sometimes, where they've gone. And sometimes late at night, oh, when I'm bathed in the firelight, the moon comes calling a ghostly way, and I recall, like a rock, standing arrow straight, like a rock, charging from the gate, like a rock.
Like a rock, we need those people in our lives with those rocks that help us to remain committed, right? And that's an important thing. I think that's, you know, where we kind of look for a couple of different areas where we have these foundational people and foundational beliefs. You know, I think that's where faith comes in. I mean, the rock of faith is such an important thing in our lives, you know, because that's what kind of keeps us grounded when the wind and the storms come. You know, there's go back to that foundation of faith in our lives. And then we have those people who help us in such a huge way too, you know, that help us to realize that we're not alone, help us to realize that God gives us people to walk through life with us and to walk through all kinds of stuff with us. And that's an amazing, amazing gift. You know, we can really never say thank you enough. We can never really say thanks enough to those people or to God for what we've received. You know, that's an amazing thing. If you think about it, the people who walk with us through life and have put up with all kinds of baloney, you know, there's a great gift in that. And I think part of that is to go back to the gift of faith. Who built that gift of faith in your life? Who built that foundation? Probably moms and dads, probably a priest or a sister or someone, you know, in a youth group or a youth minister, somebody important that helped you. You know, those are those great rocks. And we want to thank God for the gifts of those rocks, because those are the people who help us to remain committed on a number of levels. Hey, here's Tonic, If You Could Only See.
If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way about our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons and you've got your lies and you've got your manipulations. They cut me down to size. Say you love, but you don't. You love, but you won't. If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe we'd understand why I feel this way. she says she loves me.
Well, that's that one significant person that changes everybody's life. And I think when we become committed in a relationship like that, that's amazing. I remember just last week I was asked to do the funeral mass of a person who was married 67 years. 67 years. My God. And I have to say that it's one of those head scratches. You say, like, you know, I haven't done anything for 67 years yet, not even live, right? But what is it possibly like to be committed to one other person in marriage for 67 years? That is an incredible gift. And once again, something to really be grateful to God for. We have those people in our lives, though, that are those examples of commitment that really inspire us. Like, I have to say, though it was a sad funeral on some levels because it was obviously a beautiful love story, but it was really inspirational to me to be there because I had this opportunity to witness tremendous love and a tremendous story. And I think those are the inspirations we need in our lives. If we can only see those stories, you know, we'd be more committed ourselves to so many good things that happen in our lives. So that's kind of an important challenge, is to look around to those people we know who were married a long time, committed to something for a long time. I look at priests who have been priests for more than 50 years, and you say, like, what a blessing. It's incredible to have those examples in our midst. Those people inspire us to be more holy and to do good things, and that's what life's all about. Here's John Fogerty, Center Field.
And hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're
commitment is connected to being in the game, right? And I think there's something important about that in our lives, that we're in the game of life. We're in the game of what it is to be a holy person. It is, you know, what it is to be someone who's committed. You know, that means we have to get in. We have to get involved. We have to have an opinion. We have to think our opinions through. And all of those things are so critical in our lives. I don't know that everybody does that. I don't know that I do it on every issue either. Like, why do we feel the way we do about the things we believe in? You know, well, hopefully we have some kind of guideline in our life. That's what's great about, you know, our church kind of gives us some guidelines. This is, well, this is, you know, the way, this is what WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? These are the kind of things we've learned from the Bible. These are the things we've learned through life. You know, this is kind of the guideline. Sometimes in life we have new technology, new things, and you have to try to figure out, like, well, what is the commitment level? What is good about this? What is bad about this? Think about, you know, new technology like Facebook and Twitter and all of that stuff that's not so new anymore, but like how that can be a great thing, but then when it's attached to the end of our arm and we no longer talk to each other, you know, it could kind of be a terrible thing. So we have to look at that. We have to get in the game of life and start having some opinions and kind of critically think, which comes from prayer, really, that we can have some opinions on, like, what matters and what doesn't matter, have our own priorities kind of straightened out, which is not easy to do, but it takes time, and it's time well spent, that's for sure. Here's Cream. This is called Crossroads.
When I'm going down to Rosedale, take my ride. the crossroad, believe I'm sinking down.
Eric Clapton, Crossroads, and Cream. Yeah, you know, you think about it. Sometimes in our lives, we come to these crossroads and we have to make a big decision about a commitment. You know, say, well, do I change jobs? Do we move? You know, whatever those things are in our lives that are those major moments of commitment. What school do I go to for college? You know, all of these things. They matter a lot. So what are the elements that we want to throw into that decision-making process? Well, hopefully it's good, solid discussion, you know, not through texting each other, but actually having a conversation and talking it through for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, whatever it is. And then also, I think it's about bouncing things off of third parties. I think I'd like to do that a lot. You know, so I know you're not involved in this. Would you give me like an objective opinion on this? I love that kind of thing. But also for me, most importantly, I think more than any, probably 60, 70% of my decision making, you know, is prayer, asking God, help me out on this one, Lord. I have to make a decision. What do you think I should do here? What's the best direction, you know, for me? I want to do something that's always going to be good for you and for my relationship with you. What should I be doing? You know, and I think all of that stuff helps in our lives to kind of reflect and really think it through. I mean, I'm not talking about whether to paint the room white or blue, but I'm talking about the serious issues in our lives that involve commitment, you know, to say, is this the right thing for me? That kind of adds up in such an important way. Here's a famous one that after the song I'll tell you all about why it means a lot to me. Jackson Brown, Running on Empty.
Looking back at the years gone.
I'm on Senior Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about commitment today. Well, I'll tell you why this song means a lot. Because when I was a kid, I had the 8-track to this album, Running on Empty. It's the only version of Running on Empty. It's this live version. There's no studio version that I've ever seen. And what's interesting is we used to blast this in the parking lot, and everybody hanging around the car and talking after school, solving the problems of the world, you know, and knowing what was wrong, and we were going to figure out how to make it right. I think in different moments of our lives, we have different levels of commitment, right? So in high school, I think that's when we learn about commitment. I think that's when we first learn about, you know, commitment to a sport, commitment to studying, commitment even in a relationship with a girlfriend or a boyfriend. All of that stuff, I think, adds up because we start to realize that, yeah, life is going to have commitments, and that doesn't box us in, but kind of helps us to make good decisions, you know, to say, well, if I want to do well in school, I'm going to have to be committed to studying every single night. If I want to make some money to buy gas to put in my car, I have to be committed. I have to get a little job and get some extra money. So all of that stuff kind of adds up. And I think maturity lends itself to us probably around those years. You know, sometimes it never takes root, does it? And then those people kind of become dependent on us forever. Hopefully in some way in our life, with the help of God, we can help people to become more independent so that they can be more committed. Because I think if we continue to, you know, help other people along, what they call codependency, then commitment can never grow. So we really have to help people sometimes by letting go so that they can become more committed to health, more committed to, you know, mature life, whatever it is, with the help of God in their life. So important. Hey, here's Kansas. This is called Carry On, My Wayward Son.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Cry no more.
Well, we know people who are wayward, don't we? We know people who wander, and we know people for whom commitment is very, very difficult. And commitment kind of scares some of them away. And we have to pray for those people all the time, because I think it's difficult to live our lives without commitment. It's hard to kind of live our lives without recognizing that, yeah, you know what, we're committed to be there for one another. We're committed to a life that involves stability. And for some people, that's really difficult. So, yeah, what do you do about those people in your life? Well, I think the best thing to do is to pray for them and ask God to kind of help us to help them. And sometimes I think the simplest things in life help other people to recognize the power of commitment. Sometimes it's just about the simple observation. You know, like if we can live a committed life and we live a happy life in commitment and we don't look like we're trapped and we actually can smile and are happy, well, guess what? We actually inspire other people by that. And I think that's the best way. Sometimes we're the greatest example, you know, of what commitment is about, what life is about. I remember St. Francis said, you know, preach the Bible at all times. Sometimes use words. You know, sometimes use words. Yeah, because most of the time it's our actions and how we live our lives that speak about commitment and faith and all of that. So it's an important way to live our lives, an important way to take a look at life from that perspective that matters. Here's Pete Townsend, A Friend is a Friend. Ah, lovely song. A friend is a friend. So important in our lives, you know, that we recognize the power of friendship and the power of what friends are about in our lives. I think those are the people who teach us about commitment. Those are the people who teach us about the meaning of life. And hopefully, you know, those are the people we marry, right? We marry our best friends. That's, I love hearing that when people say that I married my best friend. That's a great, great gift in life, too. All of us have friends in life. They come directly from God. I'll tell you right now, they're gifts from God. We're called to be grateful for them and kind of urge on those relationships, which kind of gently, but also very importantly, call us to the depth of what commitment's all about. Here's you too. This is called Walk On.
And love is not the easy thing, the only baggage that you can bring. Love is not the easy thing, the only baggage you can bring is all that you can't leave behind. Darkness is to keep us apart, and if the daylight feels like it's a long way off, and if your glass heart should crack, and for a second you turn back, oh no. That has to be believed to be seen. You could have flown away, a singing bird in an open cage. Who will only fly for freedom? Oh, oh, walk on, walk on.
commitment does call us to walk on. It calls us to continue on, even when we don't feel like it. And that's part of faith, you know, to walk when we can't see. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's an important part of our lives, to be able to allow our faith to carry us when we can't see the direction we want to be in, or when things are just so tough. So to be committed in the midst of tough times is an important part of our lives, and something that God calls us to every day, you know, to recognize that power that comes from that commitment when we can't see it, when it doesn't make sense, but to remain committed. That's what matters in the end. Here's Bruce Springsteen, Working on a Dream.
Out here the nights are long, the days are lonely. I think of you and I'm working on a dream. I'm working on a dream. And the cards I've drawn to rough and dark, I straighten my back and I'm working on a dream. I'm working on a dream. I'm working on a dream. Sometimes it feels so far away. I'm working on a dream. I know it will be mine someday. Rain pouring down, I swing my hammer. My hands are
You know, there's no Tinkerbells in this life to just go bling and you get what you want. No, working on dreams is what it's all about. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes day in and day out effort to achieve our dreams. And they're possible, but it takes work. And that's what we pray that we have in our lives, that ability to put the work in so that the dreams can become a reality. Here's Rush. This is called The Spirit of Radio.
comes to be a wall.
All told, the spirit of what we've been trying to do on the radio for 28 years as we continue on with this show is bring you commitment and recognize the power of commitment, God in our lives, and how we can find happiness and satisfaction in our work by being committed, you know, and there's something good about that. So we can't live uncommitted. We got to live as a committed people. God wants us to be committed to one another. So let's commit ourselves this Lent. Let's commit ourselves every day to doing good things for other people and finding the good things in ourselves that we can share with others, because that's where true happiness lies. And that's where life ultimately makes the most sense. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlahan, and it's engineered and produced by the man who's full of commitments, Stephen Shaldone. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.